Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Got some good news and some bad news to fire things up today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news?
Well, this is awkward. Police in Germany say they had a pretty easy time tracking down a petty theft. There was a thief that went into a supermarket and stole some stuff and then split, ran out of there. Didn't really get away with much. $5.65 worth of goods he was trying to steal, and that triggered an alarm at the supermarket checkout late on Friday. The reason why they were able to track him down pretty quickly is because even though he did run out of the store with the stolen goods, he forgot his son behind in the store. And police say that the man's 8-year-old son was left behind. So the culprit was quickly identified when they just asked the 8-year-old, "Hey, son, what's your dad's name?" And he told them.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Don't you, like, I mean, this is so wrong on so many levels. Teach your kids not to talk to strangers. Come on.
Oh, yeah, that for sure is the most important part of the story. Don't snitch on your parents, kids.
The suspect also managed to fall over during his escape. So instead of going straight to jail, he had to go to the hospital first. Awesome.
Oh, ow.
Yikes.
Any word on what he's going to do with that $5?
And 65 cents. Mm-hmm. No, I'm curious what it was, because it said that he ran off with $5.65 worth of goods. I'm just curious, what do you even steal? That's like two candy bars, like a Snickers and a Twix? Like what's $5.65?
Like one of those big king-size candy bars?
Perhaps.
Maybe a can of Mountain Dew on top of that.
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh, county coffee. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Diet. Diet Mountain Dew.
Always. Always diet.
Gotta watch the calories.
Yeah.
But why didn't he, if it was something like that, he should have just put it in his pocket. I mean, like, I feel like that would have been a lot easier to get away with, right? Like, something $5.
Put it in your 8-year-old pocket. How about
that? Yeah. Yes. Put it on your
blame
kid.
It on the
Oops.
Children. Hello.
Oopsie.
Yeah. Teach you to dime me out, kid.
Amateurs.
Some good news today as well. His name is Enormous Freddy. He is over 7 feet tall when he's standing on his back legs. He turned 8 years old. This makes him the oldest known living Great Dane in the world. All Great Danes die before they're 8?
Whoa. I don't
really?
Like that.
Yeah.
No.
If you're not into commitment.
If you just want to try it out, Freddy's owner, whose name is Claire Stoneman, she is from Norfolk. She threw the dog a big birthday party to celebrate along with his sister Fleur. And they're from the same litter, actually. She's just a few minutes younger, which really sucks, by the way. If you're almost the oldest dog in the world, not the oldest Great Dane. But this Enormous Freddy is also the tallest dog. Again, over 7 feet tall when standing on his back legs. So they threw a big birthday party for both of them. She said, little update on how much it takes to feed Enormous Freddy. His food costs over $630 a month, consisting of kibble, minced beef, roast chicken, and lots of treats.
That's like $20 a day.
Jeez.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, good thing they only have a life expectancy of around 8 to 10 years.
Oh.
Can you ride a dog that big?
I mean, you gotta at least get a saddle and try, right?
The pony.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X1075.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So the question is, did the shutdown that, you know, we're emerging from now, did it really work? Did it prevent a whole bunch of cases of COVID-19? And they're saying, yeah, actually, the shutdown prevented a 500 million cases worldwide and 60 million cases in the U.S. alone, according to a new study that was done. Researchers found that the stay-at-home orders, businesses shut down, school closures prevented up to 60 million infections in the U.S. Additionally, the guidelines helped avert 470 million cases from cropping up across Asia and Europe. So the research team out of University of California, Berkeley, say the findings show the policies were imperative to prevent the spread of the virus. And the hope here is that with people getting back out into the world, that it's not going to cause a huge resurgence in the virus. And hopefully all this nonsense can just go away, because I think that just based on what we've been seeing over the last few weeks, people are fully over the idea of COVID-19 and having to hide from it.
Well, the only problem is that we're seeing now is that states that opened up early, like Florida, Georgia, and Texas, all have seen big spikes since the reopening a couple weeks ago. So, you know, 2-3 weeks ago when those states first started to open up. And then, you know, so that's where I'm at. You know, I mean,
did Florida ever close, though? I feel like Florida
that is a,
never closed.
Really. That is a good question. That is a good statement. Did Florida really ever close? Yeah. So I just don't think that there's zero chance. We're at a point in the world right now where there is zero chance that anybody will ever go back to quarantine ever again, at least probably for the next couple of years.
Well, then there was the reports that we saw earlier this week of the World Health Organization saying that you don't catch it from asymptomatic people or it's very difficult
that
to.
That is good news, though.
I mean, it is true. Good news, but it's like, well, yeah, I mean, it just shows you how much more we have to learn about this, which
right.
is yeah. exhausting because I'm done learning about it. I know that I need to, and
it's
I will,
evolving.
Obviously. I just, you know, I just...
Are you still wearing a mask when you go outside or not?
It depends where it is, right? So, I mean, if it's somewhere where I'm going to be away from people, if it's at, say, a restaurant, then no, because they already have things in place where the tables are already spread out and the staff are all wearing masks. But if it's something like the grocery store, because why not, right? Like, it doesn't bother me wearing a mask. I've got a couple that are in my car. Audrey's mom was actually nice enough to make a couple of masks and send them right before.
Those are a game changer for us.
Yeah, because I mean they're really great masks and they fit well and they're comfortable and everything else, so it's a big deal.
Well, I mean they fit, but I got a bigger head than all you guys. So mom was a little snug,
Yeah.
They could be your emergency masks, right? Yeah. Like the
I wore
stuff.
I wore it like a bunch of times.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you asked that, Mahoney, whether or not like you feel comfortable in certain spaces wearing it. I keep one in my car. I think I said this yesterday. Anytime that I go out and I accidentally forget it, I feel like I'm shamed into running back to the car to go put it back on. Because, I mean, people will eyeball you like, wait, what are you? You're about to come in here without a mask? Do you not see what I have on my face? And I understand that and I totally get it. But it's really interesting how society totally will shame you into feeling like a giant a-hole if you don't already feel like one entering in any type of public space without a mask.
I mean, I'm with you, but I don't know necessarily if I think that's a bad thing at all. You know, for me, I went and picked up some booze yesterday, and I know, shocker right there. But like, you know, I knew I would be one of maybe like six people in there total in a fairly large, liquor store. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I still wore my mask because, you know, I knew everybody inside would be wearing a mask. So I'm like, well, I'll do it, too, because if they're doing it, then I'm going to do it.
Exactly. It's the peer pressure of it all, which is great for safety reasons.
There's another thought here that disinfectant tunnels may become a thing. Over in Tel Aviv, they're starting soccer games again. Now, there's not going to be fans in the stands just yet, but there is this new invention, if you want to call it. It's an Israeli-based industrial automation firm called RD Pack, and they've taken this disinfecting technology developed by researchers and created a sanitation and disinfection tunnel that sprays visitors at mass events with the liquid. So it's just like what it sounds like. You walk into this tunnel, and it blasts you with disinfectant, and it's not harmful to human skin or even food. And the idea is to place the tunnel at the entrance to public and private spaces like stadiums, airports, schools, offices, shopping malls, trains, and
airports,
buses.
Gas stations.
The firm is in touch with sports and school organizations in the U.S.
Wow.
I think that this is a good idea even if there is no pandemic going on because there's a bunch of nasty-ass people that need to be hosed down.
Well, how many times do you get sick by going to the airport or flying?
Every time.
For me,
every time.
Every single time,
it's 50%.
Yeah.
It's about a 50, I mean, realistically, I feel like it's about 50% for me, but that's still about 50% too many times.
If I fall asleep on an airplane, the moment I wake up, I feel sick.
Yes, because your mouth's open the entire time.
Yeah, because I'm
like, oh, yeah.
Just breathing in all that awful air. You're like, I took a 9-minute nap and I woke up sick.
All those recycled farts.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm one of those idiots who puts down the food tray in front of me and lays my head on it.
I can't do it.
Oh, boy. That thing's
I'm too
nasty.
Tall,
So it's like, I wonder why I get sick, and it's basically because I'm just, like, drooling and, like, sopping it all up right back into my face from the tray.
Have you guys seen those things on airplanes, though? Like, they're, like, where they will, like, suspend your head, you, like, kind of wrap it to the back of the chair, and then you, like, put it across your forehead, and then you lean forward into it?
No.
It's kind of like the reverse pillow.
Awkward.
This is like some BDSM stuff. What?
Yeah. Well, but your head doesn't hit the seat in front of you, and your face doesn't touch the, you know, all the nastiness.
Yeah, I just feel like I just sit there and drool. Just,
yes. Yeah.
I'd rather do that.
Cirque du Soleil on your flight. Like, I would be staring at you 100%. Don't you feel like you'd be uncomfortable?
I give zero Fs right now about what people think of what I look like or what I'm wearing on a plane at this moment in time. Like, and probably for the rest of my life. Don't care. Do not care. Like, my plane routine has been the neck pillow, the Bose noise-canceling headphones, and the sunglasses the moment I step on, because I don't want to talk to anybody, I don't want to have any conversations, and I don't want to be disturbed.
How does your Mahoney
will do that on like four.
My wife
like
does the same thing. My wife does the same thing.
Oh. He'll do that on like 45-minute flights. Like,
damn straight, I will. I'm gonna get my little nap in.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I'm, like, totally afraid to drink soda now, guys. I haven't touched the stuff in over 5 years. I just want to remember that sweet, sweet taste, though.
Message deleted.
Don't do it.
See, I haven't drank soda in years, and I don't ever feel like I miss it. And maybe that's strange. Cause I know some people that just love it, right? I mean, Mahoney, you talk about it all the time, how you love ice cold Coke and that crack and the little bubbles and everything else. But for me, it's just the palate's just not there for it. But I'm also not a big sweets person. So things that are difficult for you to kick, would you say that soda would be high on your list?
I kick soda, you know, every few months, and I go like a month or two or three. You know, I've gone longer periods. I've gone, you know, a year plus. But then I'm always like, I get to a point where I'm like, oh, I'm going to have a cheat meal. And if I have a cheat meal, if I'm going to have something like super greasy or a big giant burger, you can't pair that with like a sparkling water. You got to have an ice cold Coke. And then that's what, you know, kind of they pull me back in. Just when you thought I was out, they pull me back in. My Pacino. It was pretty good.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
That was awesome, actually.
It was pretty good. Thank you,
terrible.
Ian. Thank you.
Terrible.
Thank you.
Awful.
And very true. So it's like, for me, yeah, I would say soda and greasy food are probably my, you know, I feel like I could kick like some like hardcore drug addiction faster than I could kick those. Like, yeah, I'm not interested in the crack. You know, but the crackers, oh yeah, I'm all about that.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Last week, you guys were talking about what would be a good career choice for Ian if it didn't work out in radio. Me personally, I think Ian would be a good stunt double for Pete Davidson. That's the career choice I think that he would
stop the voice. Stop the voice, Mariah. Just stop it.
Message deleted.
Stop it. Stop it.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Pete Davidson.
He's not wrong.
No, he is so wrong. Really?
He is wrong. You don't look anything like Pete Davidson. Yeah,
I'm more charming. Like, my eyes don't look like buttholes.
Buttholes.
I'm not living in my mom's basement.
Yet.
You know what? I think I'm funnier than Pete Davidson. Honestly. And you. And he's on SNL.
And you're way more successful with the ladies. You know, you can keep a lady, whereas he keeps getting kicked to the curb.
Yeah.
He did have like Ariana Grande and Kate Beckinsale. Those are two.
But they all said, yeah, we had that. We ain't want no more.
Because he was living in his mom's basement. Like, there would be nothing worse than you having to continue to, like, have the guy over at your house all the time, knowing the only reason why you can't go to his place is because mom's upstairs.
He had a condo in New York. Get out of here.
Him and Ariana Grande had that condo. And then
with
she
no furniture.
And then she kicked him to the curb back to his mom's basement in Staten Island. So, again, that's the most insulting voicemail I think I've ever received.
Well, what do you think you would be doing?
I'd probably be a car salesman or working I would probably work at a used bookstore.
You could not cut. Used bookstore, yes.
Used car salesman,
no.
I'm trying to make some money.
You are good at a lot of things. That is not your wheel. No.
I'm getting like a lot of
I feel like I would get that car for free.
I'd feel bad.
You would be paying me.
The point is, let's not blow this up, guys. We don't really have a lot else going on.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Dave, Mahoney, good morning, gentlemen. I took a dive into your Twitter accounts, and I'm wondering if you see how much you've changed over the years from what you post. Kids grew up. It's a beautiful thing.
Message deleted.
Not really.
I feel like we all evolve, but like I feel like it's just a higher caliber, you know, like D joke, as opposed to you know, some of the more pedestrian ones in my youth.
Did you just say that the way that you prove to yourself that you're grown up is that you have fancier D jokes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're more evolved. It's a higher level.
Yeah.
More cerebral.
Oh gosh. I feel like you're always just, no, when was the last time you did a D joke? I feel like you're always just coming up with, like, funny ways of just, like, talking about food or something.
Yeah, it's either food or pooping, for the most part, I mean, most of the time these days, which one leads to the other, so, yeah. Shocker.
It all blends together.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So it's really good to hear that some people are handling the pandemic well, and they're, you know, they're being responsible. They're not going out and just spending a whole bunch of money. They're hunkering down and they're making sure that they do things right. And of course, I'm talking about the drug cartels out of Mexico. So COVID-19 is making meth more expensive in the United States, which is just a real bummer. Travel restrictions between the U.S. and Mexico border. They've also made it more difficult because they've been locking down the borders, obviously, so they can do contact tracing and things like that, and that makes it more challenging to get the drugs back and forth. And so they're saying that the cartels have slowed the amount of meth sent to America to lessen the financial blow. Cartels have inflated the price of drugs, especially meth, according to drug agents around the country. And as people who are addicted scramble to pay more for their fix, agents predict an increase in car, garage, and home burglaries, as well as thefts. The money paid for drugs is stockpiling in the U.S. and Australia, as cartels are leery of getting caught during a time of reduced travel. So during a 10-week period beginning in March, drug agents in L.A. seized $10 million in drug money. That's more than double the drug profit seizures during the same period the year before. So experts explain that traffickers who used to limit money stored in stash houses to $100,000 to $200,000 are keeping $1 million or more. So in short, the Mexican cartels are stockpiling their drugs and their money amid the pandemic. So once this is all done, they're probably going to, you know, flood the market with a whole bunch of meth. So we have that to look forward to.
Okay, so there's that. Okay. Sounds horrifying, because if we need anything else, you know, you had COVID, now you have protests, and then we have is the next big shoe to drop, is it a tidal wave of meth hitting our country?
I think you can maybe make an argument that the opioid crisis was kind of the first thing that no one really likes to talk about because it's uncomfortable, right? But you think about the way that opioids have flooded the United States, and, you know, there's which of us don't know somebody that has had a serious problem with drugs, whether it's somebody that you know, like a family member or a close friend of yours, or at least one removed, right? Like, everyone knows somebody who's struggled with it
it's
a degree,
like cancer.
Or still
is. It literally is. It's like when you think of an issue in the United States that pretty much, you know, has touched everybody in some way, shape, or form. Cancer is one of them, and I feel like opioids is right there with it.
Yep. So Jeff Bezos, he has come out publicly and said he doesn't mind losing customers who are angry at him for supporting Black Lives Matter. I mean, the fact that people are actually, did you see what he posted? So he actually posted a screenshot of some of the emails he's been getting. Now he actually blacked out some of the information of who the individual was that sent it. But he said, I just want to give you an idea of what's going on. So an email addressed to Bezos and shared on his Instagram was from a customer whose name, unfortunately, was Dave, who vowed to never shop at Amazon again. And it's filled with all just sorts of racial slurs, dropping the N-bomb, calling him all sorts of names. And it was because he was mad that Jeff Bezos was supporting Black Lives Matter. And he said that he would never shop with Amazon again. But he had something in his cart. And he took it out of his cart, and Jeff Bezos is like, "Yeah, no, I'm very happy to lose you as a customer. You're clapping back at the richest man in the world as if your $17 order is going to make or break Amazon, and then you're going to drop an email like that. Like, if he didn't black out your name, your life would be toast right now, you moron."
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, and I get it. You know, like I did, like if you have a successful website or a successful show or whatever, you know, you're doing, most people who are normal and who are just, you know, living their lives and believe in equality and believe in, you know, doing the right thing, they don't want racists and they don't want bigots to help pad their bottom line because it feels dirty. At that point, and there are some people out there, and there's some organizations who don't mind that whatsoever. But I'm with Bezos. I don't like Jeff Bezos, but I'm with him 100% on this. If you're a dumb racist and you're going to be using stupid racist terminology, and you're going to try to come at me, f you, man! Like well, kick many, rocks. Yeah. I hope you never listen again.
How many times has that happened to us? I mean, we'll, a couple. We'll say something that triggers some racist, and they can't believe that the idea of, you know, people having equal rights. And this isn't even just about the Black Lives Matter movement. I mean, do you remember when the whole controversy was going on with, oh, we support gay people? Like how angry some people got at us for that.
Yeah, when we were happy about gay marriage becoming legalized across America, the kind of bigotry and the homophobia that we saw from that, like it's insane.
People call us and they'd be there. I'm never going to listen again. It's like, good, go away.
See you later, man. Like, there's a few things in this world. Like, I have a high tolerance for stupidity, but I have a zero tolerance for bigotry, homophobia, or racism. All of that can go.
And I feel like, I mean, you guys tell me how you feel about this. I mean, there's certainly a point now that I think we've reached as a country where it's not good enough to say, I'm not racist. Like, you actively have to be anti-racist. Yep. Like, you have to fight back because it's just flown just beneath the radar for long enough. And the people go, I'm not racist. Yeah, aren't you, though? I mean, like, are you sure about that? Like, you actively have to be against it in this day and age to be effective, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, I think that we're even seeing some people who we know for a fact, because, you know, racism is a sliding scale. I keep saying this. I feel like a broken record, but it's true. Like, whenever you sit here and say, like, oh, you know, I'm not racist, but I've heard you say specific things. Like, I went to high school with you, bro. Like, I know who you are, and people can change, and that's an amazing thing, evolution of, you know, your thought process. But whenever you are sitting there saying that, whenever you're drunk with a bunch of your friends, and then whenever you try and go and be a performativist of, like, who you think your social media wants you to be, those two people are not the same. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, who you are in private is who you really are, not who what your front facing public persona.
Well, like we were talking about yesterday with that guy who was on the board of the Naval Academy who accidentally was live streaming while he was saying all sorts of awful racist stuff to his wife, and then it gets outed and he's like, "Oh, I'm real sorry," and tries to delete the video and act like he didn't say it, and you're like, "It's too late, man." Like the racist getting outed for being racist is a good thing in this day and age, and I hope there's more of it. And if you don't like hearing that, there's probably a reason for that, and you can go away too.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Yo!
Fast food freakouts.
If I wasn't in this timeout, come in there, kick your ass.
Ma'am, we're going to have to ask you to leave.
There's something special about a fast food freakout because it almost always goes from 0 to 100 instantly. There's not even really normally a big buildup process. It's just an instant explosion. And your guys' job is, I'm going to give you the setup for what's happened in each of these. Your guys' job is to figure out what fast food restaurant each one of these freakouts happened in. And there are some little clues in there that can help to guide you. I'll give you a multiple choice after I give you the setup and play the audio. You will ring in by yelling out your name, and you'll have to make your guess at that point. So the first one here, this man is upset that they are out of certain items, and he is also, of course, upset about the wait time. Let's have a listen.
Now you need to get your together. This is the goddamn place of employment. I'm a paying customer.
Stay out of it.
You ain't got green beans. You ain't got turnip around here. You ain't. This woman been waiting on prep and chicken for 5 damn minutes. What's wrong with y'all? Get your together. Come on. I don't care. I'm in right in the green deep. No, I don't get a
plate number.
With a restaurant full of kids.
Yep.
Thank you.
Ooh. I heard a clue, yeah.
I'm gonna take a shot in the dark.
Okay.
So we heard green beans. Uh-huh. We heard chicken.
Uh-huh.
And it has a dine-in area, but he is obviously losing his mind. I don't believe that KFC serves green beans. I believe Popeyes does. So I'm going to go with Popeyes for the fast food freakout.
Popeyes is one of the choices. Popeyes is incorrect. Then, so
get out of
we know it's not Popeyes. Zaxby's and KFC, the other two choices.
KFC, for sure.
Audrey, KFC is correct. Yes.
KFC, for sure.
KFC definitely has green beans. They come in that weird little styrofoam thing.
Yes.
I don't think they have green beans.
They do.
They do. They're actually not bad.
You just don't eat green beans. That's it.
I love green beans. What are you talking about?
Hold on. Are you furiously Googling this right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard this typing. Wait a second. We'll see about
only at select locations do they have green beans.
Oh, okay. Every select location that I've ever
been
into
to,
has
yes.
had green beans on the menu.
That means that there's like one holdout in somewhere in Mississippi that's like, we don't need any damn green beans.
Yeah, they don't like greens, anything in Mississippi.
And can we talk about this when I go to KFC? Hey, man, if I order four extra biscuits and you only give me two total packets of butter, I'm coming back there. Hey,
okay.
I need two packs of butter
per biscuit. Let's not turn today's radio show into an actual fast food freakout while we're doing fast food freakouts. Here we go. On to number two. Audrey can win it with this one. This man calls 911 because they forgot his drink.
911, do you need fire, medical, or police?
Yeah, just police.
And what's the problem?
We're out here at...
What's the problem there?
We ordered some food, and we went home that our order wasn't in there, and my little brother is crying for his oranges and stuff, and we came back with the receipt and everything. Hey, can we have our order? We paid for it. And she was like, oh, no, I can't do anything about it. And she was laughing at my brother-in-law because he ordered the food. She was being rude. And, you know, we wasted gas.
Okay. All right. We'll send them over there.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Wait, they actually agreed to send the cops out for that?
Well, if he paid for something and they refused to give it to him?
Oh, come on.
He wasted his gas, man.
Yeah, all right. So is it A, Burger King, B, McDonald's, or C, Wendy's?
Mahoney.
Audrey first in.
McDonald's.
McDonald's for the win. You did it.
That's garbage.
You're garbage. How did she cheat?
She's the type of person who doesn't give out sauces and or butter. That's who Audrey is.
What are you still mad?
Hell yeah. Just to you. So you have to eat a dry-ass biscuit.
KXTEFM
HD1 Pahrump, Las Vegas. A radio.com station. Broadcasting live from the Findlay Chevrolet Studios. This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X1075.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So I guess this isn't a huge surprise, but the amount of time is a little surprising. They say that if you want to, say, make it to 100 years old, which we know not everyone on the show wants to make it to 100. In fact, let's just roundtable here. Mahoney, I know that you don't. Audrey, would you like to live to be 100, given the option?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. No. Okay. Your ideal punch-out age is what, then?
Like, around 90. I feel 90, like if I'm 100, okay. I'd have to get, like, bathed, and I don't want somebody to have to like wipe my butt for me, you know.
Fair enough. Ian, what about you?
No, definitely not 100. Maybe 65. That would be
65.
That's so young.
That's not enough. Come on,
I've
man.
Lived a very long life already. You know, I don't know what else is in store for me.
Right. Yeah, that's. I don't think anyone does. But 100 years old, you know, obviously very, very old. But yeah, how do you get to 100? They're saying that friendship can add a lot of years to your life. Years. They say the one thing you can do for a long life is have a committed romantic relationship. And they said some studies, the risk of death is lowered by a staggering 49% if you have that, which is pretty unbelievable, right? I mean, 50% less chance of death if you are in a long-term committed romantic relationship. Second, have a large social network of friends, family, neighbors who can reduce likelihood of early death by 45%. Third, foster a conscientious personality. This cuts the risk by 44%. So, you know, making good life choices actually adds years to your life. And,
I don't know about
why is it that every time they do a scientific study and there's actually information that they glean from the study, but you somehow disagree with it because you just discount it because
I've
you don't
got some
feel
insights.
Like it's...
No. I mean, they've come out and said time and time again, you're more likely to be murdered by somebody you know. So if I don't know anybody, then I'm way less likely to be murdered.
Mahoney, I think that you are very, very susceptible to being murdered by a stranger. And that's
nice
that's,
to strangers.
I don't know.
I don't know. Go ask any stranger and ask them if I'm nice. They'll say, yeah, that guy is great. He's a good time.
All right. So the TikTok mansion in Bel Air is making, as you would suspect, a lot of the neighbors very, very angry. So it's a 10,7800 square foot mansion. They bought this in January. They renamed the party base Sway LA. Blech. There's the creators of it, a 20-year-old by the name of Bryce, a 19-year-old by the name of Jaden, an 18-year-old named Josh, a 17-year-old named Quentin, an 18-year-old named Anthony, a 19-year-old named Keo, and 21-year-old Griffin are the ones that are there. Now, neighbors have reported loud music throughout the entire night, paintball shots, chants of chug, 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 along with a constant stream of food being delivered, sidewalks piled high with trash, large TV smashed up in the yard, people coming and going at all hours of the night. It is exhausting, is what they're saying. And if you think about, you know, being in this neighborhood, you're talking about, you know, multi-million-dollar houses, $10 million homes, and there's all these clowns running around the neighborhood just trashing the place. I would be furious too.
So I got a question: are any of those names? Because I thought that there were some girls living there until recently.
I think it's all boys.
So it's all dudes now. Okay. Yeah. So as soon as the girls left, chaos ensued because there was three or four girls who were also living in the house at the time. And I'll tell you right now, there is no way a bunch of girls would like allow all of that to be going on while they're trying to sleep.
I mean, but then you put a bunch of dudes together and it just turns into a huge frat house.
Yeah.
Only it's a $10 million frat house.
Oh.
And they are emboldened by the fact that they are on, they think that they're TikTok famous, which cool, but I mean, is that going to matter in a year?
We'll see how you glow up.
Yeah, right, Bryce.
Good luck.
Jaden.
Griffin.
Yeah,
God, your
down.
Parents had the, named oh, you the stupidest names ever. God,
just so we can learn from the past, let's take it back to MySpace. The people that were MySpace famous were like Tila Tequila, all right?
Who's so now like a that, Nazi, who's literally now a Nazi and forbidden, who is dead, R.I.P.
Yeah, so that's where that road leads. Good luck to you. And finally, this is I think some really exciting news. They have found
Panic at the Disco too. There.
Oh yeah,
that's true,
and
that's
Fall
true,
Out Boy.
True.
Like there's a whole resurgence of.
Yeah. No, but those people have what do you call it? Talent,
skills.
They found the mirror image of Earth. They're saying so it's in deep space. It's 3,000 light years away, but they're saying that it's a mirror image of the Sun and Earth, and they have found this in space. So it's KOI 456.4. It's less than twice the size. Real ring to it. Less than twice the size of Earth, orbits a sun-like star, making the two planets practically a mirror image of each other. The scientists warn, however, that they still need to find more data to declare KOI 456.04
a planet. It's half the size of Earth right now, and they're calling it a mirror image. So what is that? Like the worst skinny mirror of all time?
Hey. It's less than twice the size of Earth, so it's bigger than planet Earth.
Oh, so it's a fat mirror.
Yes.
Ooh, I don't like that. That gives me anxiety.
Is space just one big fun house?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, I want a skinny mirror, man. Lie to me, man. Make me look slender.
So there are probably people on there.
No.
Well, no, I don't think there's
probably
people
not
on there.
What? But where do aliens live?
I don't know.
Exactly. There might be there.
In our ocean. You ever seen an octopus?
Ew, yeah, those are aliens for sure.
Creepiest things.
I mean, octopuses
are... A whale?
Like, octopuses are way weirder than we envision aliens to be. Like, aliens have little arms and they're just fascinated with butt stuff. But, like, octopuses are these weird chameleons with 8 tentacles and 3 hearts and, they spit ink? Where did you even get the ink from?
No,
I can't even
squid,
get ink from
man.
My printer.
That's a squid.
Octopuses spit ink too, don't they?
No, they don't. Yeah. It's just squids.
God, what's the difference between a squid and an octopus?
There's a big difference between a squid and an octopus.
Like what?
I got a big head.
They are two different animals.
They're animals?
Oh, my God.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Just a little follow-up here. Mahoney is an idiot. Octopuses definitely spit ink.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
Only squid.
No, it's a... Any cephalod, they definitely
octopuses use pencils, squids use ink.
Octopi, gentlemen.
Octopussies. It's octopussies. Yeah.
What? The real question is, whenever they spit out the ink out of their beaks, is that the same place
is their butt? No, their butt's their butt.
But where's their butt? Behind their beak.
Behind the beak?
What?
It's on the other side.
It's a behind the beak butt that spits ink?
Death to octopi.
W. Oh.
All right.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So the Wynn Las Vegas is offering first responders a free one-night stay. Hospital, medical workers, police, firefighters, again, a free one-night stay at the Wynn. Wynn has handled all of this so well with taking care of their employees. They were the first ones to shut it down. They helped to lead the charge on safely reopening, and they're saying that those who qualify can reserve a standard room at Wynn or Encore. Monday through Thursday, may opt to extend their stay at a preferred rate, according to the news release. To book a free room, you just have to call 888-770-7913 and reference the code HERO. Offers limited and based on availability, so obviously valid government ID with company-issued ID demonstrating a medical, law enforcement, or firefighter first responder designation must be shown upon check-in, but WynnLasVegas.com if you want to book online. But that's pretty cool, right? I mean, Wynn is you know, offering... For first responders that maybe are looking for a little staycation, way to go, Wynn. That's awesome.
Love it. Love it. You know, they, again, they have done things right. You know, I think the only other group in town that has, you know, maybe slightly outperformed them would be the Venetian and the Palazzo. But when you look at hotel groups here in Las Vegas that I think have not made a misstep during this whole crazy ordeal that we've been living through, those are the two that come to mind first.
So Nevada in the DMV is going to reopen on June 15th. So next week is when that's going to open. So a lot of people out there riding dirty right now, got them expired tags. If you're one of those people, you can now get that, well, I'm probably fixed. So some of the services are going to start back on June 15th, not necessarily all of them. But DMV officials said they would only address the most essential services that prevent someone from being able to drive. For their first phase of reopening, those services include those with a driver's license suspension, no form of valid ID, or a newly purchased vehicle with no license plate. So depending on what your situation is, but the DMV is going to reopen next week on June 15th. So a handful of the services are going to be made available once again. So that's good news for a lot of people that have been not able to drive because the DMV has been closed for so long.
What we've all been waiting for. We cannot wait to get back to the DMV.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got to get my tags done too, but luckily I don't have to go into the DMV for that. I just got to go to one of those little kiosks, which by the way, whoever came up with that kiosk, you're the real MVP. Thank you.
You're the real MVP. Yeah, if you go to one of those little smog check places that have the little tag renewal thing right there and bam, done.
Mm-hmm.
So the World Series of Poker is going to be happening online now. There was some talk that maybe they would actually push the WSOP back to have a in-person. And we're starting to see more and more poker rooms open up around the country. And, you know, some of the places are doing five-handed, others seven-handed. So it's still not the full nine that you would get necessarily. But the World Series of Poker is supposed to be going on right now. And it's obviously not. So... the World Series of Poker is going to be held for players in the U.S. and around the world starting in July, featuring 85 gold bracelet events. But because they rolled out this huge plan to do it all online, it's very, very unlikely that they're going to try to reschedule it for later in the year to actually happen in person here in Las Vegas. So the buy-ins for the WSOP online range from $400 to $3,200, $1,000 buy-in, no limit. Hold'em Championship going to be held on the final day of the series, which is July 31st. Schedule is dominated by No Limit Hold'em, but events will still feature some of the other games that have been popular over the years, like Pot Limit Omaha and High Low, and satellites for the events starting as low as $1. So there's a whole bunch of different events that are going to be happening. It's obviously not going to have the same pizzazz, if you will, as doing it live here in Las Vegas and actually being able to see your opponents. There's a lot of people that prefer to do in-person playing as opposed to online playing. But it also goes the other way, too. Just as of right now, appears that the online WSOP is going to be the only thing that's going to happen in 2020.
I mean, the main event normally draws, between 10 and 12,000 people, anywhere in that range. So Do you think we will see more or less people in the main event this year because of its online, venue?
Well, I mean, it's so much more accessible, right? But, I mean, there's only a couple of places where you can legally play online. So, I mean, if poker was like it was back in the day and you could play it wherever you were in the United States, then I think you'd see potentially a lot more people. But right now, in order to play on WSOP.com, you have to be in either Nevada or New Jersey, which, you know, it really kind of takes the wind out of the sails of being accessible to everyone. So I think far less, don't you?
Yeah, probably, yeah. unless they lower the admission price, but I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, the main event buy-in has always been, what, 10 grand, I think?
10 large, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I feel like the players, you know, I think it's two different skill sets. You know, we see some of these amazing players who are, you know, phenomenal in poker rooms and who are phenomenal in person get smoked by some of these online players.
Well, you just got to think you take so many reps, right? I mean, if you're an in-person player only, I mean, there's only so many hands that you can play in poker, and so not that it limits your experience, but it certainly limits the volume of hands that you play. Whereas if you're playing online, I mean, some of those kids by the time they're 25 years old have already played more hands of poker than Doyle Brunson, who's been playing his entire life, right?
Yeah.
Because they're multi-tabling and you've got, 10 tables going at once and you're sitting there playing all these hands and all these different scenarios in so much faster time. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's certainly been a lot of young players that came up online that have done very well in the live game as well. And finally, MGM is set to reopen Aria. So when all the pandemic stuff was first, and everyone was trying to predict when things were going to reopen, there were some people online that were very incorrectly saying that Aria very likely wouldn't even open until 2021 or maybe even 2022. Well, as it turns out, it's going to be by the 4th of July. So a spokesman for MGM Resorts confirmed that the CEO, Bill Hornbuckle, announced that the Aria is going to be set to be open by the 4th of July. In an interview about reopening the Bellagio, he said that he would describe the demand right now as pent up and strong. The company reopened Bellagio, New York, MGM Grand, the Signature, and then they also announced that next week Excalibur is going to be reopening, and then Aria, which obviously is an enormous resort, which we talk about this all the time. What we really care about is getting people back to work. And so that's a whole lot of jobs that are suddenly going to come back online here in Las Vegas. So that's a good thing and very exciting, I'm sure, for a lot of people that have been anxiously waiting for their job to come back. Looks like it's going to be within the next few weeks.
This is huge. I mean, this is absolutely huge. I'm excited, I mean, just so long as we can make sure that the, everything's done safe. But it seems, a lot of the procedures that a lot of these places have in place right now are doing what they can, taking temperatures, separating people from the machines and on the tables. It may not be the Vegas experience that you were used to, but much like we always do here in the city, we're evolving.
Yeah, evolving, sticking to moving, figuring out how to overcome obstacles. And the thing that I like, I mean, you actually touched on a pretty important point there, Mahoney, is that it's definitely a challenging time for a lot of these casinos with putting all the safeguards in place. But from what we've seen, if you want to be safe and you want to socially distance and you want to be in a fairly sterile environment, the casinos are offering that for you. There's a whole bunch of people that obviously don't care about that and they're just over COVID and they're just like, whatever, I'll just take my chances. And if I get it, I get it. But there's also a whole bunch of people that aren't of that mindset, and they're like, I do want to be safe. And it seems like all of the casinos that I've seen that have reopened the floors, it is set up so you are able to keep away from other people, and you're not touching a whole bunch of the same stuff that other people are, and there's sanitation stations all over the place. So glad to see that another huge property is coming.
Can't look at me? Can I get that? Because I like the not touching, but can I get the not looking at me now?
That's the mask. Yeah, that's what the mask is for, incognito.
Yeah, the mask and the sunglasses.
I can still see their BDS eyes. Don't look at me.
Oh, so you don't want to look at other people?
I don't want them looking at me. I don't want to look at them.
Just stay home.
God, you're like Mariah Carey.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Mahoney, why don't you ever grow your beard out? Keep it at such a, like,
minimal level. Just grow that baby out, baby. You look real good with a Viking beard.
Message deleted.
No, he wouldn't.
I mean, I appreciate you saying that. Thank you. I really do. But the problem with growing a large Viking beard is that those require a lot of upkeep. And as I get older, my level for pruning and primping and making myself look presentable and spending a lot of time on that has gotten down to about zero. Because I think I'm, as much as my wife does not want me to rock the buzzed haircut, I'm sticking with this thing.
Forever?
And I'm keeping a well-kept beard because, like, you have to, like, brush it. You have to, like, blow dry it. It's just, it's a whole ordeal. Like, guys with really long, good-looking beards put a lot of work into that. And I'm not willing to put in that much effort.
It's a really bad look when the beard is just awful and ratty.
Ooh.
Right? I mean, just, you know what I'm talking about. Like, the guys that have the big beard, but they don't look after it. And so they look like they're on Duck Dynasty, you know. It's just, like, all scraggly and, yeah. Put a face pubes.
Ew. Yeah, you got to get the balms and the brushes and the oils and all of that. Because honestly, if you've got a nice beard and it smells good.
Okay.
I have some beard oil that makes my beard smell like a pine tree.
Oh.
A pine tree?
I feel like if you
put that in your beard, you might actually get mistaken for a pine tree. Like, you guys have a similar build.
I'm a big sack. I'm a big sack.
Good job. Mahoney, you're wrong, man. Audrey's right. You really can't sit on the toilet for too long. Pushing or not pushing, it's still not good. Gonna hurt your back.
Message deleted.
I keep proper posture when I'm in the bathroom. And don't you tell me how long I can spend in a bathroom. I will spend all day in a bathroom if I want.
Well, you got the old squatty potty too, right? I mean, you position yourself properly to...
You don't get in there and try to blow out an O-ring. No, man, you let nature occur naturally with the squatty potty. And it's a much more serene experience. And I don't feel rushed. That's the time, you know, it's like you could take it fast by going slow.
So
as the Beach Boys once said in their famous track, Kokomo.
Oh, gosh. I was actually wrong the last time that I said this. I think I said 5 minutes, but apparently the maximum time you should spend on the toilet is 10, and the average bowel movement takes 12 seconds. So,
what are you talking about?
Wait, what are you talking about? 12 seconds?
Google it.
Is it just
by the time it starts coming out of you?
Is your butt a freeway? Is it the Autobahn in Germany that there's no speed limit?
Is it just like a bucket that you flip over? Like, what are you talking about? It's just like a hatch that you open.
That's what it says. I Googled, how long should you spend on the toilet? And it says
you're getting false information.
Yeah, well, also, just for everyone's reference, Audrey also poops with the door open. So there's that.
And remarkably fast.
Just goes
less than 12.
Done.
I'm competitive in all things, including my poops.
God, lady, put it away.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I'm totally concerned about falling in love with somebody who's either a vegetarian or a vegan. In that situation, I mean, you switch your diet.
Message deleted.
Why? Well, it can be way
that's
cheaper.
That's their choice.
Yeah.
My wife is a vegetarian, and like I said, I think my eating got worse.
Because you were able to eat whatever you wanted because she didn't
want any of it. Yeah, I have zero, there is no consideration. Like, we cook separate meals every day. I order out. And she cooks.
That's awesome. More food for you.
So when Mahoney was an ovo-lacto vegetarian for a while there, when he was doing his skinny year, how many years ago was that? Was that 2017?
2017.
Three years ago. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I was in love with you at that time, Mahoney, but I certainly love you, you know. So it's
why did you love him less? Because he was
grumpy? No, I'm saying I always loved Mahoney. I just, you know, in love is just I don't know if I'd classify it as in love with Mahoney at that time.
Oh, the jealousy of his ripped bod 3 years ago was.
I wouldn't
in.
Say it was a ripped bod. He just sort of looked like a
ripped.
Corn dog.
Ripped. Planet Fitness hooked him up.
No! Why did you do that? Why? Why did you do that, Terry?
There was a certain person, a person so vile and arrogant, the middle ground between horrible and useless, a culinary. and retail nightmare. The person which we call Karen. These are the Karen Chronicles.
These are all real posts from people that are very entitled. They feel like they deserve a level of service that they simply can't find anywhere. And I wonder if it's because every establishment that they go into is subpar, or maybe it's because what they're expecting when they go in. These are the Karen Chronicles, all real reviews from otherwise very well-reviewed establishments across the country. So we'll start here with a place called Robert's Restaurant in Florida. 4.5 out of 5 stars. Setting the table here, Edward said 5 out of 5. In an age of gastropubs and foodies, Robert's is a refreshing old-school diner. Big menu, scratch kitchen. It's been a staple here since 1993. Anna said 5 out of 5, perfect home-style breakfast, absolutely starving after a long flight. I was craving that biscuits and gravy, and that's exactly what I got. Oh, it was so good.
Go. Bees and G's.
Do you want to hear her? As she said, the gravy was creamy and flavorful with sausage in it, and the eggs were so creamy and delicious as well.
Why are you doing this to me? Why are you talking about delicious biscuits and gravy when you know I have not eaten, my friend?
Because you know that I have to set the table for Karen D, who gave it 1 out of 5 stars. Sadly, I will not be able to review Robert's because we arrived 3 minutes past closing, and they refused to seat us. 3 minutes, for Christ's sake. And I was expecting a cool outpost deep in the industrial part of the city, away from all of the rich. Sadly mistaken, rude awakening. I hope this review results in not only a loss of business, but a mass revolt causing them to shutter the place permanently. We left hungry and defeated. Please, people, not only boycott Roberts, but also tell all of your friends to do the same. F. Roberts.
Three minutes after they closed, Karen. If you show up 3 minutes before they close and you ask to be set, you're a dick.
If you're not familiar with how a closing time works, it's when they close.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
So let's continue here with the Dune Brothers in Providence, Rhode Island. This one getting 4.5 out of 5 stars. Chandelier, which is quite the name. Chandelier with an S-H. Chandelier piece at 5 out of 5 stars. If you didn't know what the Dune Brothers was, you can walk right past it, not realizing what you were missing out on. Best lobster rolls you could ever experience. Oh, my God. I would blank that lobster roll if I could. Oh, wow. I mean, Chandelier. Fair. Ooh. Anna D. said 5 out of 5. Dune Brothers, one of those places that just brings that New England vibe to summer. The seafood, fresh and delicious. The portions are huge. Vibe, very relaxed. Karen A. is none too impressed, though. She said 1 out of 5 stars. I go here a lot, and I mean a lot, but I'm not sure why. I think I may have had my last straw. I've been to prisons with better service. The waiter took my order, went outside, aimed at me through the window. Are you doing your job? I hope so. The food came out and looked like it was plated by toddlers. Yes, toddlers, babies. Don't even get me started on the critters who fly over your head when you're sitting outside. How can you keep the birds out? You're a restaurant, right? I don't care if it's outside or not. Never again, Dune Bros. Okay, so you're mad at the birds that are flying overhead.
She's mad at birds being outside.
Got it. Okay. Let's continue with something that we're all familiar with, a Chili's. A Chili's in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Actually, it has 4 out of 5 stars, which is pretty good considering.
A highly rated Chili's. But, I mean, Albuquerque, is it a lot of options in Albuquerque?
I'm not sure, but this one, does pretty well. Russ said 5 out of 5 stars. Always has been a great Chili's, whether I order the chicken and waffles or the Southern Smokehouse Burger or the Alex's Burger. Chili's is simply the best. They have consistently provided great food and great service. Farina H said 5 out of 5 stars. Love, love, love the molten lava cake. The service was amazing, even though the restaurant was packed for happy hour. Me and my friend were seated immediately. Karen Ard did not have a great experience. 1 out of 5 stars. I gave it 1 star because it did not give me an option for anything less. If you plan on a night of disappointment, this is the place to go. I think if you look up disappointment in the dictionary, you might find a photo of this place after my review. I went with my cousin and his daughter, and it was too bright inside of the restaurant. So we asked them, of course, to turn down the lights, but they said they couldn't. I can't believe they would insult customers like that. I know it's Chili's, but come on, everyone. They had cheap drinks, but even those don't get you drunk enough to forget where you're at.
I put on my best Tommy Bahama to take your mom here tonight.
Ooh.
She wanted some mood lighting and a Chili's.
Yeah, right? It's, just, she wanted, like,
it's too bright. Like, turn down the lights. Like, no, lady. We're not going to turn down the lights for you. She's trying to get hammered on margaritas, but they don't get you drunk fast enough.
L-I-T's.
God. Oh. And finally, this is Urban Vintage Coffee in Brooklyn, New York City. 4.5 out of 5 stars. Theo W., 5 out of 5. I'm guilty of never remembering the staff's name, but they always remember mine. It's a great place for locals to come and meet and mingle and just grab a bite, sit, and lounge around. It's fantastic. Tatiana F., 5 out of 5. Great atmosphere. Came here to do work with a friend. We sat outside and inside. Both were very lovely. Karen S. did not have a good experience. She said 1 out of 5 stars. This place is ridiculous. It's like all the other independent coffee shops that think they are way too cool. I get it. You've been around for 1,000,000 years, but I don't care. Don't look down on me because I want a freaking macchiato the way that I want it, and I try to explain it to you, and then you try to explain it to me like I've recently had a lobotomy? That's what I'm ordering. It's not an actual macchiato. No other place had issues understanding what I want. Oh, and you're dirty, by the way. Not in the way that I like, either. Please, get a mop and clean your floors. It's not cool to be grungy in the unsanitary type of style. Ugh. Can you just imagine a Karen having... Can you imagine
dirty
a Karen
macchiato
having sex?
Oh.
Yeah. Ugh.
Oh my God, Mahoney, are you good over there? Your face got Las Vegas, a radio.com
station broadcasting live from the Findlay Chevrolet Studios inside the entertainment capital of the world. This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So do people really believe that nice guys finish last? Because society has evolved and matured to the point where the cliche nice guys finish last isn't true anymore. According to a new survey that was done, they asked people if they think that in general nice guys actually do finish last. Here's the results from it. 25% of people say that nice guys still indeed finish last. 38% say they aren't really sure. Men are more likely than women to believe that nice guys finish last. 28% of dudes say it's true versus 21% of women. I don't know if I buy the nice guys finish last thing. That just seems like the sort of thing that dudes say whenever they can't get laid. They're like, "Oh, I'm too nice."
Nice guys who identify themselves as nice guys or call themselves nice guys are douchebag incels. Like, that's what's going on there. Like, you were a creep.
Simps.
Just because a woman doesn't respond to the way that you want her to respond, or she's not interested in you, doesn't mean you're a nice guy. It means you're a guy who can't get a clue and figure it out. You know, here's my advice for anybody and everybody who is out there listening. If somebody wants to be with you, they will be with you. And if you have to question whether or not they're going to be with you, they don't want to be with you. You're just a booty call. The side dudes, the side chicks. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm saying, like, side dudes, side chicks. And if you're wondering why they won't call you, or if you're like, if they're into you, they will be into you. That is the, like, if there's ever been a simple truth in the world, that is it. If they want to spend time with you, they will move mountains too. And if they don't, I gotta work, I'm so busy. BS. They're too busy for you. That's what's going on.
Yep.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of truth to what you just said. There's never been a situation where somebody is too nice, and that's the thing that drives the other person away, right?
No. Well, it could be kind
something
of,
else.
It can be overbearing, though. I think that there's a balance of, like, where it's just comes off a little too strong, and obviously that also has something to do
but
with
then
the
you're
fact
not too
that
nice.
You're not as
that's,
interested.
You're crying.
You're just not as interested.
You're too creepy.
You're too creepy.
You're sitting there. People don't, like, always want something if the person's
easy.
Too
I don't
readily
want
available.
That's easy.
Right.
Nope.
Yeah, it's got to be challenging.
No, cat and mouse was one of the most fun parts of, like, starting to date. Like, I don't want somebody who is, like, always telling me yes. Like, I would like you to tell me no, so it makes me want to hang out with you more
than
I
It's not because
time.
They're too nice. It's because they don't have an opinion or they don't have a backbone. Like, the people who I know who are truly, like, good, nice people. I want to spend as much time around them as like possible. But they're not trying to be nice. You can't try to be nice. You just are. It's in your. It's built into your DNA. It's built into your psyche. The people who try to be nice come off as creepy because they're trying to be nice. What are you really hiding? That's that. And like we have a spidey sense as people that we can read that.
Yep.
Now, of all the billionaires, who do you think is the nicest? Because you guys are taking a relationship perspective here. I was thinking more with business. Like, I don't think...
Bill Gates.
Yeah, that was the only one I can think of, too. Because all the other ones seem like total D-bags.
Oprah.
Kind of like cutthroats to get up there.
Oprah, yeah. No, I mean, I think you're right, Ian, that, I mean, in order to be a billionaire, like, you have to stab a lot of people in the back along the way.
Yeah.
You really do have to be pretty cutthroat and ruthless and you know, I mean, I think that applies to a lot of things, though, right? It's sort of like if you're going to go into battle and you take it back to the days of William Wallace, you know, you can't be such a nice guy that you're not willing to spill some bloods and take off some heads, you know? Sometimes you gotta crack a few eggs to make an omelet. But, you know, there is a couple of people that have made it through that have become very, very wealthy that don't seem like total dirtbags. I would say the vast majority of them, though, are dirtbags, and that's the reason why they have money.
Like Bill Gates is a nice guy, but he's one of the most ruthless businessmen who have ever lived. Like no doubt.
And kudos like, they have for crushed... that. Kudos to the billionaires who have been able to pave the way that they were able to become successful from themselves. Like you can't knock it.
Yeah, but you crush your competition, man. Like there's some antitrust type stuff going on, but whatever.
Talk about an overachiever here. Have you guys heard of Kathy Sullivan before? She's the former NASA astronaut who became the first woman she became the first woman to dive to the lowest point on Earth, known as the Challenger Deep.
Whoa.
So she's been to space, and she's also been to the lowest point in Earth. And
sounds
get
like
this,
a,
so it was
like a country song. I've seen the highest highs and the lowest lows, and my dog just died in my pickup truck.
You're a hater.
Yeah, that's a... Really,
I feel like
the worst,
that's
the worst stereotype of country.
Going number one on the country charts next week.
She performed
the EDM part of the country now.
No, the snap track. Oh, yeah.
she went on a successful expedition at more than 35,000 feet below the ocean's surface.
That's crazy.
Isn't that amazing?
Ooh, yeah. Hate it.
Yeah.
Too much pressure. I don't want to deal with that.
No.
So what about her?
Yeah.
Or is that it? She just been to both.
Well, I mean, no, it was amazing that she's a veteran of three space shuttle flights.
So what else did she do?
She became the first American woman. She became the first American woman to walk in space, and then just this past weekend went 35,000 feet below the ocean surface.
You didn't say this past weekend. You missed that part. I thought there was like
a chance you're just yelling and singing bad country songs. Like,
whatever, man. Still gonna be number one.
Blowing O-ring. And speaking of We all talk about how nature's healing, you know, because of the whole COVID thing, and there's less pollution and everything. Is it, though? I mean, there's earthquakes, and then obviously there's
volcanoes,
some weird stuff going on in Yellowstone.
We
heard the whole thing with the Golden Gate Bridge, like, just howling, even though there's no construction going on. Like, it's making a weird humming noise. Some strange stuff. Researchers have discovered two ancient super eruptions associated with Yellowstone, and they say that the hotspot track, including what they believe could be the largest and most cataclysmic event, according to a new study, is on track to happen. So two volcanic super eruptions associated with the hotspot fuels the geysers and the mud spots in Yellowstone between 8 and 12 million years
that's
ago
why,
is when these first
they
erupted.
Wear tidy whities and get those mud spots. I'm on the boxer briefs.
Get the 12 million year old super eruption, and next thing you know.
Well, we just discovered the Dave's brother.
This is the
Dave Mahoney
Morning Show on X107.5.
We figured out what?
We discovered that your brother wears old school boxers, just like not even boxer briefs, just like the ones that you had in like sixth
shorts.
Grade, just
like the loose ones. Yeah, like where did you even buy those? Like the ones that like bunch up. You know what I'm talking about? Like
doesn't he wear like tighter pants too? Like doesn't it like, kind of go up into like a diaper?
No, this is his youngest brother.
Doesn't he wear also tighter pants too?
Yeah.
But like baggy pants, I feel like you can only wear baggy pants and have.
I don't even know where you buy those. Like, can you just go to like a regular store and you're like,
Target,
where do I
yeah.
find the
Walmart
the
Target,
loose yeah. boxers? Yeah,
the old man huh. boxers.
Yeah.
No.
Hmm.
No. It's like, oh gosh.
Not
the
a good
problem with
Audrey?
Old man boxers too is they twist and you, if your boys fall out
okay,
of them.
All right, let's just.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
This is going to be really hard to do, but it's time for you to decide what the greatest breakfast food of all time is. Now, I would lobby to say that breakfast is easily the greatest meal in the entire day. But as far as the best breakfast food, it can be any single item or two things that commonly go together. So it can be a steak and eggs. It can be... It can be chicken and waffles, something like that. But what is it for you, Ray, just right out of the gate here, that thick-cut French toast? You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about those thin little pieces that mom used to make
on the
weekend.
The one that starts with
weekend.
Like a C, like the Chalala French toast or whatever?
The kind that like you really have to like get after it with a fork and a knife, and it's got the powdered sugar right on the top,
sugar.
And it's just somehow, even though it's so thick, it's just drenched in syrup, too. Oh man, that!
You ever had stuffed French toast?
Yes, with cream cheese. Strawberries.
I've done with cream cheese, but I've had like what is it, like pudding inside of it, which was legit.
Like a custard.
Get on. Custard, yeah, that's what it was.
Abby said a breakfast skillet. A breakfast skillet sounds pretty good. Cleve said chicken and waffles. And the senator said, country fried steak and eggs.
Oh, with that white gravy, honey. Mm-hmm. Yes.
See, but I'm with you with the chicken fried chicken or the chicken fried steak with you, and you smother it with gravy, and it is. But I feel like that could be a dinner too. I feel like that's not a breakfast exclusive style entree. Whereas I feel like biscuits and gravy.
Oh my god! Don't you
pretty much only at breakfast, right? Because like I mean, I don't think I've ever had biscuits and gravy for dinner, but biscuits and gravy for breakfast. You get a fluffy like one of those fluffy ass biscuits. You crack it open, then you just pour that sausage gravy all over it, like it's been like it's just. Mm.
Do you also put butter in there too? If you don't, you should.
What about Ashton over on Facebook said Eggs Benedict? Like when you find the Eggs Benedict and the English muffin is cooked just perfectly, the eggs are cooked perfectly, and the sauce has just that little bit of a tang to it. You know what I'm talking about? Like, Eggs Benedict can be so damn good.
There's a restaurant here in town, and they have the best suckling pig Eggs Benny, and it's basically like pulled pork on top of an Eggs Benedict with the green onions. Oh my, and that hollandaise sauce. Oh, I'm drooling thinking about it.
Mm. Stacy said steak and eggs with sourdough is close to the top, but breakfast burrito all the way.
Oh, good call.
With the queso fresco on top, or even just straight queso and salsa
breakfast,
on top.
Breakfast sandwiches. Yeah. Like those are my thing, like a biscuit or a croissant with a bacon, egg, and cheese on it. Like that's everything you need in just one beautiful sandwich. And then the croissant is just so soft. Mm. Oh, I love it.
Uh huh. Oh.
When the two competing things go together, when something's both hot and cold, or it's soft but gooey, you know, and a little bit of crispiness in there. And, oh, geez. I'm curious, Mahoney, your thoughts on this because. Back when I lived in South Carolina, you know, it was when I was coming up, if you will, and there's a lot of drunken nights at Waffle House, and I'm trying to figure out if Waffle House is really as good as I remember it. But the hash browns that you would get from the Waffle House, scattered, smothered, chunked, diced, I mean, they were greasy but not too greasy. They had a little bit of that convicts cigarette ash actually in them. I mean, it was the only place where you could go.
Yeah, yeah. It's good for
that's the secret
sauce. The only
place
you could go where you could actively see the cook smoking while he was cooking your food, and that for some reason was fine. I just don't know if the food was actually that good or it was just it's just the nostalgia of it that makes me think.
I feel
it was
like
good.
Waffle House does one thing really well, and that is fights. The second thing that they do pretty good is the hash browns. It's like because the way that they are shaved and the way that they come out and the way that they're fried. I mean, it's almost impossible to mess up hash browns, because even if you burn the outside, it still just makes them like extra crisp. So I feel like the lower end is still warm, but not like overdone. So you're able to able to portion out those hash browns evenly. So I would say you're right. I feel like the hash browns, but everything else was kind of garbage, Dave.
The hot and the cold together, Amanda said, the toasted piping hot bagel and cold cream cheese.
Just a classic.
That's not top
just
tier. So that's not top tier, though. It's mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, it is,
but
though.
Like,
yes, it is.
No way. Mm. No way.
A plain bagel with plain cream cheese is so simple.
You have to put extra stuff on it. No, you got to put extra stuff on it. Like, yes, that's awesome, but if you put like an egg and sausage and cheese on top of it on like an everything bagel.
But you know how long does that take to make, though? You got to do like all sorts of things right there. If you're just at home, you throw a bagel in the toaster. And then the cold ass cream cheese. She's right, hot and cold. That is a great combination.
The cold cream cheese, though, that spreads easily. Not the sort where the same thing with the butter too.
You got to get tub versus the
for
block.
Sure. Yep.
Tub all Definitely. Day.
It's making me hungry.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
If you had to choose one breakfast item that you could eat for the rest of your life, but this is it. Like, what is the very, very top of your list? Nick actually posted a picture of it. It's the breakfast burger. I've never even heard of this from Carl's Jr., but it actually has the ingredients here. So I'll read it. It's a charbroiled all beef patty. Okay. And then it's got egg, like a big thing of egg, like folded over style on top. It's got bacon on top of that. It's got American cheese on the burger part. And then it's got hash rounds and ketchup on a seeded bun. So it's got everything. It goes hash browns, burger, American cheese, eggs, bacon, all on a hamburger bun. And I tell you what, man, it looks pretty damn good. It really does.
If we're going with pre-made food, I'm going with the Chick-fil-A spicy breakfast chicken sandwich, because their biscuits and their chicken, in my opinion, there is nothing to be beat. But the only downside is the day that I always want it is always a Sunday.
Always
closed.
Always. There's a place back home that I'm actually drilling, thinking about. For me, that the top tier breakfast is the Belgian waffle. That's what they're called, right? The thick, thick one made with like buttermilk, and then it has that whipped cream butter on top, so it's sweet and salty at the same time.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah,
it
yeah.
melts whenever you put that hot syrup on top of it, and you can add your fruit if you want to, but then the side, and not everybody's going to agree with this, but cheesy garlic grits. Oh my God.
Do you put them on there or you just eat them on the side?
No, just the side. Oh my gosh. I actually am salivating right now.
Yeah, with the Cause waffles, said you have to play that game where you have to put the syrup in each one of the squares.
Every single one, like,
They have their own
waffles are great for if you have OCD, for sure.
Yeah. Cross said the spinach feta wrap from Starbucks is fire. Oh. So I actually would agree with you that Starbucks has some really good food. Their little sausage breakfast sandwich is the go-to for me. Like if I got to get something on the go, I'll get that. So they have the bacon Gouda, but that's different than the sausage and egg and cheese that they have, which is just, I mean, I know that it's microwave, but it tastes like why are you shaking your head, man? Screw
it
you.
It is
you,
good. It's bougie, Gouda. But it's good.
Spinach.
No, that chorizo sandwich is so
good. If we're
going to
talk about, like, and I feel like all you bougie, you're all bougie over here talking about feta and Gouda and all this other.
I wasn't talking about anything. It's sausage, egg, and cheese, and it's not bougie.
Let's talk about the greatest hash brown of all time. McDonald's. End of story. Done. Especially when they're playing Monopoly, even though I know those people.
Now it's rigged.
Many years. It's not rigged anymore, but the straight up big giant hash brown from McDonald's, that is a classic. That is by far the and let's just talk about the McGriddle. The McGriddle is delicious.
It is.
It is delicious.
The soggier the better.
Yeah. Jimmy said Cocoa Pebbles and whole milk. You talk about a classic. I mean, you want to throw it back there. Just some Cocoa Pebbles and whole milk, and even when you're done with it, drinking that
chocolate milk.
That Cocoa Pebbled chocolate milk. Mm.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
The greatest breakfast food of all time. This has led to quite the debate, and there's all sorts of people that have big opinions on this. Stanley over on Facebook, the pork roll, egg, and cheese. Oh. And if you don't know what it is, then you're not from New Jersey, and I will deliver one for you.
Is that like Andy, a going back or to. Something?
Andy, going back to a classic here, said cornflakes with either banana slices or sugar sprinkled in it. Let us not forget where most of us have come from. I used take a bowl, but I used to take a bowl of cornflakes, and I would cover it in so much sugar that they were essentially just bootleg Frosted Flakes. It didn't have the same consistency, but all the sugar would go down to the bottom of the bowl, and so you'd go like mining for a spoonful of sugar. And you just pull it up through the milk, and you get like two cornflakes that are floating around in there, basically just eating spoonfuls of sugar. That was my youth.
Oh, the if you want to talk about sugar, doing the like a peanut butter toast and then sprinkling sugar on it, like for breakfast, like that was like you knew you were gonna be like if you like I think I only got that on like my birthday or other like special days because it was just straight sugar, and so like as a little kid, you would just be bouncing off the walls all day long, but. The banana or the strawberry in a cereal always felt like a delicacy.
Top tier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You put a banana, a sliced up banana in there, but it couldn't be the thick. It had to be thinly sliced. You know what I'm talking about? Because otherwise it's these weird, large chunks.
Like that?
Nope,
you do?
I want some chunks.
Thicker. Not too thin.
Okay.
Like,
all right.
Finger thickness.
Girthy.
Well, it finger does. Thickness. And I want it, like, harder, too. I like my bananas, like, a little green.
This is a family show, young lady.
Yes. A little green.
Good Lord.
Hey, that's normal.
Big green hard bananas.
Here, my.
Cover your ears.
All right, cover your ears. Simple game. These are all popular songs you've heard many times over the years. Audrey versus Mahoney here. We've got 30 seconds of each of these songs. You can ring in by putting up your hand. I'll stop it right there, and you have to make your guess. If, of course, you guess incorrectly, the other person has a chance to go after you. Audrey has swept Mahoney for the last couple of days. Let's see if that continues here in Cover Your Ears.
Untrue, and if you are watching along on our Twitch channel, wrong answers only in chat. Wrong answers only.
Please. Yeah, don't ruin it. Here we go.
I walked alone, I walked alone. I walked alone, I walked alone. My shadow's only one that walks beside me. My shadow for the only thing that's beaten. Sometimes I wish someone out there will find me.
Oh, God.
Can someone tell that drummer to calm down, please?
And these are all normal people, right? Catch up with the lyrics.
Yes. These normal. Yeah. Artists, Mahoney.
Mahoney, do you have a guess on that one?
It's Green Day.
Yeah.
What's the song?
Lonely Road.
No, it's not Lonely Road. Audrey, do you want to guess on the song title?
Walk Alone. No, is that,
Five seconds.
No, it's not. I just know.
Okay. Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Same difference.
So Mahoney gets a half point. Here we go. On to number two. Half point.
People pumped up kicks.
Yeah.
Full point there. All right, Audrey, you got to get a point here if you want to.
We got
one more, and then we have a bonus if necessary. So if Audrey gets a full point on this one, then we'll go to a bonus in the in the next song. All right. Otherwise, Mahoney can close it out right here with even just a half point. Here we go.
Does she speak eloquently? And would she have your baby? I'm sure she'd make a really excellent.
Audrey quickly coming in there.
She's trying to cheat.
Oh, it's Alanis Morissette, isn't it?
Yeah, let me just.
Mother. Yeah. The love that you gave that we made wasn't able to make it enough for you to be open wide. No. And every time you speak her name, does she know how you told me you'd hold me until you died? till you died, but you're still alive, and I'm here to remind you.
Audrey just busted out the signed Alanis Morissette guitar that she has in
Lover.
Her room handy.
Lover.
What's the song for the Come full on. Point?
Oh my God, Jagged Little Pill, right?
Well, that's the album.
Yeah, but you ought to know this.
You ought to know.
Yeah.
Well, why are you going to help her out, Dave? Why are you going to
help her out? I was just making a statement. That she ought to know that. All right, so it comes down to this. It is the fourth and final one. Whoever gets this is going to be our winner. Good luck.
All right.
Love is like a bomb, baby, come on, get it on. Living like a lover with a radar phone.
Oh,
looking
man.
Like a tramp,
oh.
Like...
Mahoney rang in first. What is it, Mahoney?
Pour some sugar on me.
Oh, yes, it is. Congratulations.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So first up today in the Redneck Report, a Florida man decided that he was going to hide his face with underwear in order to steal electronics from a Walmart. All right. To help stop the spread of coronavirus, the leaders in the area on Wednesday considered forcing people to wear masks in the store. That same day, a guy named Emiliano was arrested for doing just that. According to deputies, only his mask was underwear, and he wore it while he was stealing electronics from one of the several Walmart stores he suspected of hitting, according to deputies. So he was going from Walmart to Walmart and stealing stuff. The repeat offender didn't seem to learn his lesson, said the Hillsborough County Sheriff, whose name is Chad. I hope his third arrest for the same type of crime will be his final. The 49-year-old man faces charges that said that he pried open a display case and stole $1,600 worth of electronics, sure. Placed them in an empty box of children's toys. He paid the value of the toys, but was stopped by loss prevention employees as he left. For those of you that don't know, Walmart has like casino level security. I mean, you don't think that Walmart has this crazy security. They absolutely do.
They're one of the biggest businesses in the world.
Or some stores will just go.
They've got that CSI, like, enhance type cameras going on inside of a Walmart. Like, yeah, legit. I mean, legitimately, they're close to a $1 trillion company. They're one of the big guys, big players in the retail space, just like Apple and Google and all, you know, like, but they're actually have brick and mortar stores. And that technology is legit. Like, why, if you're going to steal, just run out the door, man. Like, why are you going to do the pomp and circumstance of, like, trying to buy a fake... of fake kid's toy.
Like a children's
with
toy.
With underwear over your head? Like
they saw you prying open the case, and you walked to the kids' department. You're not tricking anyone. So charges have been brought in federal court against a guy named Glenn Richard... Yeah, I guess maybe. Glenn Richard Masio, he is 49 years old. He's from Canada, and he is being charged with using... And, I mean, A-plus for effort here. He is being charged with using... a submarine to ferry drugs across the Detroit River. So he was first arrested on May 10th while driving a U-Haul, and he had a whole bunch of stuff on him, $97,000 in money in his possession. He agreed to stay at a hotel while agents investigated the case, but authorities say he disappeared on May 22nd while interviewing the Homeland Security agents. I guess he illegally entered the U.S., according to court records, told investigators his organization had successfully smuggled marijuana, cocaine, and money via submarine 7 times, according to the affidavit. They also say that the next day they found a kilogram of meth arriving in Detroit. That's when federal agents found this guy. And sure enough, I mean, he was using a submarine in order to get the items from one side of the border to the other and all kinds of stuff.
Can you imagine a worse way to die than in a submarine in the Detroit River smuggling meth?
Oh.
Right. Like, I don't know what decisions you've made in life, but all of them are wrong if it's led to this.
And the federal agents, they find $100,000 on them. Like, no, just stay in this Motel 6, and then he just leaves. Like, you couldn't think to put somebody to watch him?
It had to be on the Canadian side, right? Because
they're like,
okay, just do, listen, you smuggler, you hoser, just stay in the hotel, and we're going to come get you in a few days, and we find out your $97,000 are legit, okay? Just stay right there. And he's like, all methed out. He goes, runs back to his submarine and goes flying across the river. You're like, what?
Cops are like, do you want anything from Tim Hortons?
Making a run.
So an attempted murder suspect gets arrested after falling down a hill and impaling his wrist on a steel bar. Ow! Imagine a steel bar impaling your wrist. So this guy, he's 30 years old, his name is Eric Nelson. He attacked his girlfriend on Saturday and then fired a shot at the woman's ex-boyfriend, who rushed to the scene to try to defend her. Nelson tried to escape police by jumping down a hill, only to have his wrist pierced by a piece of rebar that was sticking out of the ground.
Good. Wow. Yeah.
And it took emergency responders about an hour to pull this guy off of the rebar. He was then quickly taken into custody, transported to a hospital for surgery. While he was getting treatment, medically cleared, he was booked into the county jail on attempted murder, domestic violence, felon in possession of a firearm, possession of a loaded firearm, and resisting arrest. The last thing there is what really gets me. You are stuck to a piece of rebar. Literally, it's going through your wrist. They show up to get you, to rescue you, and you're still going to resist arrest. Screw you, man.
If he is stuck to this piece of rebar and he took a shot at you and you're the boyfriend who was trying to save the girlfriend, you beat him like a pinata, right? While he's stuck to that rebar.
No question. No question. So we don't like to celebrate when people get hurt unless they're people that deserve it, and this a-hole definitely deserved it. That's on you, buddy.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Maybe they're having some kind of transmitting trouble. Why don't we phone the station?
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY. Again, 833-YO-DUMMY.
Please leave a message after the tone.
You really don't know why Tom was always trying to kill Jerry on the Tom and Jerry show? He's a freaking cat. He was doing his damn job. Cat, kill mouse. Owner by cat, because owner has a mouse. Cat tries to kill mouse. Mouse is too smart. Screws over cat. And it never worked out right. Mouse lives. Cat looks like an idiot. And that's about how real life really is. Have a good day.
Message deleted.
Was that guy calling from a phone booth in 1982? Like, what?
Who's out
everything
to lunch?
About that just sounded old-timey. Like, he went over to the phone booth that was in the parking lot.
There's a mouse in the
Denny's parking lot. He's like, you kids were talking about Tom and Jerry? What are you doing? It's a cat and a mouse, you see?
And clunk, most house
puts
cats
his,
are
puts his fedora back
to...
on and goes back inside and finishes.
Like reads the paper. Of Tom and Jerry.
Wait, Clunk, I to come on.
Takes his pipe and puts it in his mouth. You stupid kids. Nothing in his room.
I hear we're landing on the moon in a couple days.
How exciting, see? I'm going to go start my car. Cranking that thing? What the hell?
Please leave a message after the tone.
Mahoney, I already know your answer, but everyone else, if you had to give up either beer or coffee for the rest of your life, what would you choose?
Message deleted.
See you later, beer.
Beer.
Easy choice. Easy choice.
Easy.
See you later, coffee.
Yep.
Coffee.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
See you later, coffee.
Really?
I can go. I don't drink coffee on the weekends. I only drink it during the work week. So, but I drink beer a lot more than coffee.
You could supplement coffee with, like, Red Bull or whatever, you know?
No. Not
five,
even
give me that five. Give me that five-hour energy.
I like coffee nothing. Even in forms of, like, ice cream and, like, flavored things.
You're
like,
at a baseball game.
Coffee as a flavor is so good.
You can't have a beer? What if we get a baseball
team? I'm not going
team?
To baseball
like,
games.
Football game.
Again. Sorry. Yeah.
I'll just butt chug some vodka.
Beer, cheese,
man.
Cheetos, vodka. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. There's plenty of other alcohols out there. There's only one coffee. Like, I mean, there's wine I would choose over beer in a second. Liquor I would even choose over beer in a second. I like beer, but it's not the end-all be-all for me. As far as the hierarchy of drinks go, red wine, water, and coffee are really the only three that I need to exist.
Well, then what about that, Dave? What about coffee or wine if you had to choose?
Don't you put me in this position. It's like,
hey,
it's like choosing. It's like choosing between my kids.
Got to pick one. Okay, we'll Sophie's choice up with this bitch, Dave.
It's hard for me to say, but I'd have to get rid of wine because
you are a liar. You are such a liar.
The only reason I say that is because it's the exact same point. There's other forms of booze that have similar effects. There's only one coffee.
What Rockstar? About booze in general? What about just booze in general
Monster.
And caffeine in general? If you had to pick the buzz over the caffeine, which one would you go?
See you later, coffee.
And you could just go with like a espresso instead, Dave.
That's coffee. It's made from coffee beans. Yep. That's cheating. Tea, you could make an argument tea would be a replacement, but...
Ugh.
Soda?
Yeah.
Coke?
Mountain Dew.
Mahoney, let's do this again. Rank your favorite people on the show. Go. You can be me.
Message deleted.
Why do they always want us to rank who we like most on this? There's only four
Ian
of us.
Ian number one. Like it's Ian number one.
Of course.
My man.
Don't even list me at this point. If I'm not number one, I'm number two. No. Oh, God.
And Dave's coming in last today.
The second place loser.
No, you forgot your self-loathing. You put yourself last, you idiot.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So Joe Exotic, as we know, sometimes can be just a little bit dramatic, and he is continuing that. He claimed in an impassioned letter that he will be dead in 2 to 3 months if he doesn't get help from the President of the United States. So the Tiger King himself, 57, said his soul is already dead. And he explained he has been unable to remain hopeful while being incarcerated 24/7 without access to a phone, email, or anything else, according to a letter that was obtained by TMZ. Yeah, that's how it works, Joe Exotic. When you get locked up and put in jail, you're in jail 24/7, right?
Yep.
Asking for a miracle from the president by being released, he wrote that although he requires blood infusions every 4 weeks for his common variable immune deficiency, he has not had one since the end of January, and so he thinks he is going to die in just a couple of months' time.
What a weirdo.
Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. I mean,
exactly.
Literally, that is...
Put a hit out on somebody.
Yeah, he did. Again, I know, don't we miss the kind of simpler times when we were just watching, Tiger King and before all the craziness kind of hit at the very beginning of the quarantine?
Yeah, we were like, oh, this is going to be a fun quarantine. Look at this crazy guy on TV with his tigers. And then it was just sort of like, oh, boy, he's locked up. And he's literally in this letter pleading to Donald Trump, Cardi B, and Kim Kardashian to get him out of jail.
If there Good was luck going to be that. A Trump pardon, it would have been a month and a half ago, right? Like, I feel like in the first week of the quarantine, if Trump, right when it blew up, if Trump would have pardoned him, I feel like everybody kind of would have been okay with that. But
yeah,
at this point now, we're like, nah.
No, you can't let Joe Exotic out before you let people who are in jail for petty crimes and marijuana. You can't let Joe
There's
Exotic out before them.
You're right. How crazy is that? There are people in the United States who are in prison because of marijuana. You're moving kilos and tons of it, but just because of possession.
Having a dime on you. Yeah.
Yeah. Nuts.
Bye. Please leave a message after the tone.
Carol Baskin, you bitch!
Message deleted.
Never get tired of that.
I rolled you so hard.
So there is a new project. It's called Celebrity Show Off. It's based on a Korean show called My Little Television. And Blossom is going to host the show, and it's going to be on TBS with the same people that produced The Masked Singer. So if you're a fan, normally don't get excited about shows on TBS, but the Jason Sudeikis is going to also be on the show. So former Big Bang. There's all kinds of people. The cast
Jason
for Celebrity
Sudeikis
Show.
Is?
No, Jason
from Saturday Night Live,
and Mayim Bialik, who played Blossom. Yes. She was also on The Big Bang Theory, but best known for Blossom back in the early 90s.
So let me tell you some of the names that are going to be featured on this: Diplo, Ja Rule, Dwight Howard, Travis Kelce, Jason Mraz, Kevin Smith, Tori Spelling, Rumor Willis, I mean, just like what a collaboration.
This is going to be
dorks.
The biggest, like just train wreck that you could possibly see.
So
please
bad,
give
yeah.
me a please give me a duet between Tori Spelling and Ja Rule. That's what the world needs right now.
It must be the eyes. Could you imagine coming out?
No, do that. Is that the song you did with Ashanti?
Yes. Him just dressed up as Cookie Monster coming out on the floor. That'd be the best Masked Singer ever.
And finally, Big Brother is going to air another season, and they're saying that it could be actually returning this summer. So season 21 aired last year during the summer. CBS has contacted a whole bunch of big-time stars, they're saying at least, to potentially be on the show, including former NFL players, to do a potential all-star season that could be on the air this summer. The series will have a different setup, obviously, because of COVID-19. The show usually airs in June. It'll be pushed to July. Players will have to sequester longer than normal, also quarantine for 14 days before entering the game. Some players have already declined due to COVID-19. They say they don't want to be a part of it. However, they're saying that they think they're going to be able to put together an all-star cast. So good luck, guys.
I feel like, how bizarre is that when they're saying like the people are declining because of COVID? Like, I mean, like reality stars traditionally will do anything.
Anything.
Literally anything. Like when it comes to like levels of like ethos, reality stars on the nut low, maybe just above, Instagram influencers.
You might get syphilis. Are you okay with it? Sure. Is there a shot afterwards? Like, they will say yes.
I mean, if it was like chlamydia,
saying,
sure.
Is there a shot afterwards?
Whatever. Yeah. If the penicillin clears it up, I'm fine with it.
Oh, God. See, Moni, you're even in the realm of people who would say yes, even if you could get syphilis.
Well, depends
syphilis.
On what. Yeah. Yeah.
He's had syphilis before.
No, I had chlamydia.
You had chlamydia. I'm sorry. Chlamydia. It's
way different.
There's a big way.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So, Sex Island promises unlimited adult relations. This is a thing that they're trying to sell in Las Vegas right now, an erotic Las Vegas resort promising weed, unlimited alcohol, and relations with two girls per day is the advertising. And the party is billed as Sex Island Coronavirus, which is advertised by something called the Good Girls Company. And according to the website, it's going to take place June 19th through the 21st of this year. Attendees will have to fork out. You ready for this? $4,500 to assure themselves a spot and will be picked up at the airport, taken to a private location for 3 nights and 4 days. Participants will have the opportunity to have unlimited relations with two girls, and they can swap girls with other guests. What year is this? What is going on?
What is
happening?
They
also said that, but don't worry, they said the girls are all STD free, and they also offer on-site immediate HIV and STD testing if it is needed. So they say they're going to sell 50 tickets for 50 guests, and each ticket includes the unlimited relations during the 4-day trip.
Hey, what about the dudes? Can you just like put up some like hot dudes for chicks too? Like, this is just so bizarre. Also, like you said, Dave, what year is this?
It seems
scammy.
This
is why it seems like a scam to me.
Swapping women. What are you talking
about?
That's
disgusting. Here's the thing. So there's only 50 total tickets that they are selling into this at $4,500 a piece. That's only $225,000. That's not even a quarter of $1 million for 3 nights with 100 women. So you take that $225,000, divide it by 100 women, and then you divide it by 3 nights. That's only $750 a night for the women. Like, there's no way that's going on.
Just
like,
to be
like,
passed around and
like
done,
no,
like
this
many
is
times
such
a
dumb
no.
scam.
This sounds like a total scam. And if you buy one of these tickets for $4,500, you're going to get ripped off.
You will deserve it.
Everything about this sounds.
Ew. Yeah, if you're a guy who's going $4,500, that's not that big of a deal. Like, we'll go ahead and put that in for all like a sexcapade. Ew. First of all, like, look inside yourself for a moment. Like, that's gross, man. Really,
I've got no problem. Hey, if you are willing, where places are, you know, like in Europe, it's legal in a lot of places. Prostitution is legal, obviously, in everywhere except for Reno and Las Vegas. In Nevada, it's also legal. If you are a willing participant and you want, that's what you want to do, and it's between consenting adults, you do you. But like
more than $750.
But yeah, this seems just like real sketchy. We had a friend who went down to the Bunny Ranch. And I think he did what? He was there for a night. And I think it was like what he spent, like, what, $3,500? Something like that? Wasn't it around there, Dave?
It's $3,500.
I think he went real big. I think he went.
Oh, like he went for like one of the adult actresses,
like,
or something?
Yeah, yeah. Something like that.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, the idea that they would put out a press release for this, and they're saying they're selling tickets, but it's June 19th, which is just not that far away, means that this whole thing is probably a scam to begin with. I actually found an article about this, and I was reading it, and almost everything in the article, I mean, being a longtime Las Vegas resident, very aware of the laws here, and was talking about how, you know, the reason they're able to do this is because prostitution is totally legal in Las Vegas, which is incorrect.
It's not.
It is not legal in Las Vegas.
Clark County and Washoe County, it's not.
No. So, I mean, you can go out to Pahrump, and it's legal in Pahrump. There's a lot of areas around Las Vegas, but it's not like they're just on the other side of town, right? I mean, yeah. And people think on the Strip because they roll all those dumb billboards up and down, like the girls direct your room.
On the cars,
you
know what, yeah.
Do you know what's going to happen when the girls come direct to your room? They're going to rip you off. They're going to sit there and they're going to strip. They're going to take your $800 and you're going to go, well, what's next? And they go, that's it, and leave. And then what are you going to do? Call the cops and be like, hey, I thought I was paying for something else and they didn't do it and they left. Yeah, no, you're going to get ripped off. So don't fall for that, and don't fall for this garbage either. So a panda has escaped from an enclosure at a Danish zoo, and that's ironic because it's a panda and they move pretty slow. So they said the park staff was able to quickly catch it, sedate it, and bring it back. But it's a 7-year-old male who arrived at the zoo last year, was on surveillance, breaking out of a newly built $24.2 million panda house that also has a female panda, whose name is Mao Sun. The zoo spokesman said that the video could be seen. The male panda crawls up a metal pole, which is studded with three rows of electrical wires, and then crawls into the garden. They say the park is now making changes to this panda house. But the fact they dropped $24.2 million on a panda house, I mean, that's like the price of Ariana Grande's house. That's ridiculous.
He deserves to be free.
Panda's got to live.
Yeah,
they got to live big, man. They got to floss. Also, all you probably needed was a ball and some bamboo, and you probably could have kept that panda, in one place.
Legit. He didn't care about that chicken there. Pandas, like, barely even do it. Like, they only care about food and, like you said, like, playing with, like, inanimate objects. Like,
yeah, they like, try, because the reason pandas are going extinct is because they're not banging. They've made panda porn, and, you know, like, we just heard about these pandas for the first time.
What just happened?
Come on. We just heard about these pandas for the first time, you know, during the shutdown, that were doing it over, I believe it was in China.
Yes.
But it had been like years and years since they had boned.
Is it just me, or is Mahoney basically the human version of a panda? Like, he just doesn't really like to move that much. He's allergic to his own BS.
Spends all his time and energy into food.
Mm-hmm.
Bamboo. And sneeze is really cute.
Oh, he does. Oh, yeah. Remember the panda bear that sneezed and scared a little baby?
Oh. No, the baby sneezed and scared him off.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.